Ya tanya la kase shebe thodi ma ten shomu ro.
First we will read from the leftover of the text.
Any Maribo Donna? Any Dushi Gadreada, Teletene, any part of Kiawa Gadrea, Lenin Shaman Jenki Kiawa Gadrea. Oh, those in it, Tabatoya. That's it, even Maribo Dogwala, and the Rapshi Shabjevan on the Sona Shinki. Any Kansaga Tatus and Buddha. And I'm not sure if you get a little bit of a
Yesterday we read up to the end of the section on practices pertaining to the middling level of capacity, where we read in verse standard 19 and 20, if we do not strive in contemplating the defects of the truth of suffering, the genuine aspiration for liberation does not arise in us. And if we do not contemplate the causal process of the origin of suffering, we will fail to understand how to cut the root of cyclic existence. In order to fully understand the meaning of these two standards, it is essential to study the 26th chapter of Nagarjuna's Fundamental Wisdom of the Middle Way, where there is an extensive explanation of the manner in which the 12 links of dependent origination bring about an individual's existence within an enlightened cycle. And in this chapter, Nagarjuna explains in detail how it is the ignorance that gives rise to volitional act of karmic action, which then brings about the whole chain of the 12 links that constitute together an individual's, the process of an individual's existence in a cycle of unenlightened existence, and how then he also explains how by bringing an end to ignorance, grasping at inherent existence, one can bring an end to the whole process of volitional karmic action, which then brings about the end to karmically conditioned existence, and so on. Then the whole chain of the 12 links are broken, and in this way, liberation is attained. Then in order to fully understand what is the content of this wisdom that brings about this ending of the whole cycle, this needs to be understood on the basis of studying the 18th chapter of Nagarjuna's Fundamental Wisdom of the Middle Way, where he explains the teachings on the no self of person, selflessness of person, and no self of phenomena, selflessness of phenomena, and explains how the ignorance, which is the grasping at inherent existence of self, person, and on that basis grasping at the thought mine, I am and mine, which and furthermore, because of the ignorance, we grasp at anything that comes into within the field of our experience and within the field of our perception as possessing some kind of true existence. And this grasping is eliminated on the basis of cultivating the insight and wisdom of no self. And this is explained in the 18th chapter, how initially by cultivating the wisdom, one is able to undermine the intensity of our grasping. And then gradually, through the development of this wisdom at an advanced level, eventually one will be able to undermine its force, culminating in even eradicating the ignorance and the grasping from its very root. And this is explained in the 18th chapter. So on the basis of the combined study of these two chapters, and then we will understand. On the basis of the study of these two chapters, we will then understand the full significance of these two stanzas when Tsongkhapa says, if we do not strive in contemplating the defects of the truth of suffering, the genuine aspiration for liberation does not arise. And if we do not contemplate the causal process of the origin of suffering, we will fail to understand how to cut the root of cyclic existence. So it is vital to seek true renunciation of disenchantment with existence and to recognize which factors chain us in the cycle of existence.
다제네 딱 내리게 나네 내리 탐지 캠페 고방 쪽이야 그래다 탐지 캠페 고방 쪽이야 하겠다 람 기부 챔비 람림 세다 되네 마스템기 태조 생에 되네 마다 초브레
And then the next is the stages of the path pertaining to the attainment of the highest form of definite goodness, which is the omniscient state of Buddhahood. And these practices are the practices that pertain to the training of a practitioner whose is that of the advanced or great capacity.
Yeah, that. 다디 심지 퇴소 람지 중심인데 람지 접었는지 시다데 총리군으로 쓴줄 쓰더고 람장께서 어째 선남들 대다시에 대해서 뽑으놈 인신 심지 투동 태둔진 내저 내년에 단두 때듯이 장사로 전임 다 송대야 되게 다 가시고를 그게 럽듀다. 어떤 게 아니라, 고블루룩이, 얘네 진진 상황다. 다가는 신기, 고블루룩이, 얘네, 장주쌤대다. 얘네 다 10월 사이에 얘네 럽듀다. 준주. 다 디디기 탄다다. 닝구 드시지래도 봐. 쟤네, 다음, 다가 신집에 장주쌤 세대하다. 젊으시게 러면 치면 나눠올려야, 아니, 쌈바, 샨든 쌈네, 랑든 샬란도 봐, 쌔야. 나 매도 생활지기, 나 간다, 러이 디리, 러이 캐소, 러이 배, 담도 담으로, 매도 생활지리, 샤. 쌈바, 샨든을 또 믹체, 나, 장바드 닝지 싸워를 줘배, 나 장바드 닝지 촬영하면, 장바드 닝지,
So in the next stanza, we read stanza 21 and 22. Generating the mind is the central axle of the supreme vehicle path. It's the foundation and support of all expansive deeds. To all instances of two accumulations, it is like the elixir of gold. It is the treasure of merits, containing myriad collections of virtues. Recognizing these truths, the heroic bodhisattvas uphold the precious supreme mind as the heart of their practice. So in these two stanzas, Tsongkhapa distills and summarizes the essence of many of the instructions found in the great Indian Buddhist classics, where instructions are presented on how to cultivate the bodhicitta, the awakening mind, in terms of exchanging and equalizing self and others, particularly in works such as Nagarjuna's Precious Garland, and also Nagarjuna's commentary on the awakening mind, Bodhicitta Vivarana, and also Shantideva's compendium of trainings, Shiksha Samuchaya, and his guide to the Bodhisattva's way of life, Bodhicharya Avatara. So in these texts, all the aspects of the practices for cultivating the awakening mind in terms of exchanging and equalizing self and others are presented in great detail. And when you reflect upon the quality of this particular precious mind, it is very true what Tsongkhapa has commented when he, in the section on the awakening mind, dealing with exchanging and equalizing self and others, in his great great treatise on the stages of the path to enlightenment, Lamrim Chemo, Tsongkhapa makes the following observation. He says that for a practitioner of this precious mind, although the primary intention is to seek the fulfillment of others' welfare, one's own, the practitioner's own self-interest will be realized as a byproduct. Now, this is a very important and significant point Tsongkhapa is making, because if you understand properly the essence of the teaching of the awakening mind, particularly in terms of exchanging of self and others, exchanging and equalizing of self and others, we will understand that the kind of loving kindness and compassion we are talking about is not that of a biased kind of partial state of mind, but rather we are talking about a much more comprehensive and a powerful kind of loving kindness and compassion, a kind of loving kindness and compassion that is reinforced and grounded upon the faculty of wisdom. And it is a kind of love and compassion that is not that is grounded upon the faculty of wisdom, and that is also further developed and enhanced with on the basis of reason, you know, further reasoning and critical reflection. Therefore, loving kindness and compassion that we are talking about in this context here is something that is much more comprehensive and also very powerful. And therefore, the altruistic mind that is engendered through the practice of this kind of loving kindness and compassion is in fact a very powerful state of mind, so that the individual who is able to cultivate that kind of altruistic state of mind experiences naturally deep down a sense of courage, and as a result such an individual becomes devoid of fear or any sense of insecurity, and also becomes free of suspicion towards others as well. And furthermore, such a practitioner's attitude would be such that, a dedication would be such that there will be a commitment to bring about the welfare of other sentient beings, you know, as far as, you know, as long as space remains, and to the extent of as long as, you know, as infinite as the number of sentient beings there exist. And when you have that kind of dedication and commitment to the ideal of altruism, then, you know, every instance of your existence becomes meaningful. You will have a sense that, you know, because of this kind of ideal and because of this kind of dedication, you will feel that the purpose of your very existence has been served. Because since you have dedicated your entire being for the welfare of other sentient beings and to the pursuit of this altruistic ideal, and because of your practice, every instance of your existence would be seen as being a a fulfillment of the purpose of your very existence. And you will also have this deep sense of satisfaction that, yes, I'm serving the purpose of my existence. At the same time, for such a practitioner, you know, when you encounter in your day-to-day life, as it would naturally be the case, all sorts of problems and complications, given that as beings bound in the cycle of existence, one is, you know, bound to encounter all sorts of, you know, misfortune, adversities, and suffering, such as the suffering of birth, death, aging, sickness, and so on, and also many adversities that one will, you know, encounter in one's day-to-day life. When you encounter such situations, the practitioner of this altruistic ideal would be someone who will, because of the dedication to the pursuit of this ideal and seeking the welfare of other sentient beings, one will not be overwhelmed by these adversities, and in fact will be able to adopt such a stand as the Kashmiri Pandit Shakya Shiri states in one of his writings on mind training, where he says that when suffering, may I pray that may the ocean of suffering, as a result of my experience of suffering, may the ocean of suffering become dry. And when happy or when prosperous, may I be... So may when I enjoy happiness and prosperity, I shall dedicate this towards the happiness of all beings. May the happiness and virtue pervade entire face of the earth. So this is the kind of dedication one will be able to make. And also, furthermore, for such a practitioner, not only will these adversities become an obstacle to one's practices and become overwhelmed, not only will one not be overwhelmed by these adversities, but in fact, for true practitioners, these adversities can in fact become a condition for further progress in one's path, and in fact, they can become a kind of a favorable condition. Therefore, the kind of the impact of the practice of awakening mind, of exchanging self and others, is such that from the depth of one's very being, there will be a deep sense of fulfillment in one's life. And furthermore, one will be able to transform, as the Lojong saying goes, transform adversities into favorable opportunities. And so this is why, you know, this is what Tsongkhapa means when he says that although intentionally one seeks the fulfillment of others' welfare, those who are dedicated to the altruistic ideal will have their own interest, you know, realized as a byproduct. So this is what he means, and we can truly relate to that kind of sentiment. In contrast, our own situation is such that up until now, we have, instead of embracing altruism, we have cherished our own self-interest, and instead of embracing the wisdom of no self, we have clung on to this belief in true existence of some kind of independent self. And because of bowing to the force, these twin forces of self-cherishing and self-grasping, our situation is what it is today, and we live our life, you know, in the kind of a continual cycle of and disillusionment, dissatisfaction, and, you know, complaints up to now. And then if we continue to, you know, remain in the same mode of way of living, you know, kind of, you know, embracing self-cherishing and self-grasping, even life after life, we'll be basically perpetuating this same cycle of disillusionment, disappointment, dissatisfaction, and complaints, and more complaints, and so on. So we need to recognize that this is the impact, this is the imprint of our kind of old way of being, and we must now turn this around, and instead of embracing self-cherishing, we must embrace the cherishing of others, and instead of embracing grasping at self, we must embrace the wisdom of no self, and on that basis, one will be able to then begin to turn this cycle and make a new kind of beginning. And therefore, one can understand when Nagarjuna says in his commentary on the awakening mind, when at the end of explanation of the bodhicitta, awakening mind, he says that what is more marvelous than this great marvel, and what is more amazing than this most amazing ideal? He makes a similar comment at the end of his explanation of the wisdom of no self. Again, he says that what is more amazing than this amazing ideal, and what is more what is more marvelous than this, you know, marvel, and what is more amazing than this amazing wisdom. So therefore, for on the part of us who see ourselves as practitioners of this ideal, we must follow in the footsteps of great being like Nagarjuna and embrace this ideal of altruism and cultivate the awakening mind. And in this basis, in this way, we will be able to, even in this very lifetime, create a genuine basis for true happiness. And you know, if we are able to do this, then we will be able to truly relate to the statement made by Shantideva in his Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, where he says, therefore, you know, overcoming all forms of weariness and discouragement, one should ride the horse of the awakening mind, bodhicitta, and travel from a place of joy to a place of joy. What intelligent person wouldn't? What intelligent person would procrastinate? You know, against such an ideal, such a journey.
Yeah. That Shiva, understand? Lord Shiva, the Jujushya, Shiva. The Jujushya, you know that.
So the more
the question answer is more so that telling and to say me do that question you know other than the design question
so the more detailed explanation on the awakening mind could be given next year because the next year the text to be taught scheduled to be taught is that of Shantideva's Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, and this time we didn't even have enough time to go through some of the questions from you. So if you have questions, you have now enough time to prepare. And then you can bring the questions and we can deal with it next time.
So,
of course, within this large congregation...
As an impermanence. There's some of us, after 1 year... Not very sure where we'll be. Maybe some other planet. So at least those people who will still be alive, then of course we have, I think, more leisure time to discuss these things next year. Which month? Around July or something? July. Oh. So... certainly, I think weather will be much worse than today's weather. Okay. That is why Chinru Nyam Ne, Chinru Shoto Sim Kien, Adangyal Didisha, one Dikhu Tu Denga Sim Jidishita. Sim Jidishita, Mariwa Sim Jidishita Shugho Den Degi, Da Sim Jidishita Shugho Den Degi, Janang Khadu Den Shin Degi. Now, the same thing is about Chindru Lav Sa, Chindru Dre.
So, from stanza 27 onwards, the actual Bodhisattva ideal practices in the form of six perfections are presented.
I think I'm going to
So, we will actually read from there now.
Yeah. Jibba Dwe Rogong Yishin Or, Senen Dwe Chwebe Chancha Cho, Mashim Ningdo Chwebe Kese Cho, Nyan Bae Tha Kho Cho 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 Cho
So,
저번 대다신에 내가 오면은 남이 따져 띵지 준도대 내가 내장 단두 개장 싫었으면 뒤에 따위에 집에 싸워 두는 집으로 손으로 끌어 나가고 연대도 띵으면서 되면 쳐도다 대다신에 단두 개봐야 남들 매번 두면 깨면서 내가 내장 단두 개장 대신 장차로
So actually I made a mistake. It's from verse 23. So we will read these next stanzas. Giving is the wish granting jewel that satisfies the wishes of all beings. It's the best weapon to cut the constricting knots of miserliness. It's an undaunted deed of the bodhisattva giving birth to courage. It's the basis to proclaim one's fame throughout all 10 directions. Knowing this, the learned ones seek the excellent path of giving away entirely their body, wealth, and virtues. I, a yogi, you who aspire for liberation. Morality is the water that washes off the stains of all ill deeds. It is the cooling moonlight dispelling the burning agony of afflictions. In the midst of people, it's most majestic like the Mount Meru. It draws together old beings without any display of force. Knowing this, the sublime ones guard as if they would their own eyes, the perfect disciplines which they have chosen to adopt. I, a yogi, you who aspire for liberation. Forbearance is the supreme ornament for those who have power. It's the greatest fortitude against the agonies of afflictions. Against its enemy, the snake of hate, it's a Garuda cruising in the sky. Against the weapon of harsh words, it is the strongest armor. Knowing this, we should habituate ourselves with the armor of excellent forbearance by all possible means. I, a yogi, you who aspire for liberation. If the armor of unflinching perseverance is worn, knowledge of scripture and realization increases like waxing moon. All conducts become fused with good purpose, and whatever initiatives we may begin succeed as hoped for. Knowing this, the bodhisattvas apply great waves of effort which help to dispel all forms of laziness. I, a yogi, you who aspire for liberation. Concentration is the king that reigns over the mind. When left, it is an unwavering as the king of mountains. When set forth, it engages with all objects of virtue. It induces the great bliss of a serviceable body and mind. Knowing this, the great accomplished yogis constantly apply meditations, destroying the enemy of distraction. I, a yogi, you who aspire for liberation. Wisdom is the eye that sees the profound suchness. It's the path eradicating cyclic existence from its very root. It's a treasury of higher qualities that are praised in all scriptures. It's known as the supreme lamp dispelling the darkness of delusion. Knowing this, the learned ones who aspire for liberation endeavor with multiple efforts to cultivate this path. I, a yogi, have practiced in this manner. You who aspire for liberation too should do likewise.
No, yeah.
So
다 개첨부식 그다 강사가 등진 락배 장배 차단직 강사가 등진 참여 장배 차단직 준비하래. 자, 드레이머 인도산에 다 뇨몽 차라 머리꼬를 차라 먹고 준비해봐 인도산에 대 장배 뇨몽래 뇨몽 차라 먹고지 내봐도 여국이 아래. 자, 드레이 인도산에 떠나 다음에 이게 남샤 되네 다음에 이게 남샤 지금 다 쌈동네 지기에 다음에 락바 곰댕에 지기 등진 락배 겜배 뇽몰라 리식비에다 문주원 건너바지 용그레디 얘네 등 다음에 락바 떡배 시럽되기 권배 에네 등진 참여 장배 에네 뇽몽기 문주원 건너 둬야 매버리 그들이 이루산에 다 안되기 되니 치시가다 럽도 동에다 초용 그랬으나 다 가서 하면 지금 여기 두고 있습니다. 되니 요모 치시 럽도 때 학주진의 등신들 공신 시에는 대손 버려. 다와나 요모 뽕야 때 그랬을 때 걸었을랍나. 개지 취할라 다음에 소소도 소소 대다 개지 곰나니 곰바니 되니 양현 대도 데뷔주 다음에 곰바이나 아니 다도 짐베 다 다음에 참문에 다 가족래 시에네 꼼토버 중앙이나 등지 타라가 장배 아니 뇨모디디 매버 차토그레스 다 뇨모 빵배 아니 탈배고반 토토그레스 워나 다음에 꼼배 탈배고반 토버는 시 가족래 그게 제 로주급에 연대 현다지기에 양 타버 토토그레스럽나 토트야 요마리스 주신 강이 되니 실민주로 세네 남의 떡배 실을 찍고 마다 세 탑 시행기 아니 타바 토트야 가다 등증 있냐 부칭에 제 요마리스 그러나 그래서 내가 좀을 왜 그러나 전주고 쓴다고 삼지 밑에 초 달라도 저버 제야 삼지 밑에 천유군도 대업 들는 게 초도 집에 다 로지레디 이네 디 등진을 진단 계획관에 넣어두고야 말이야. 자신의 가족의 중앙, 눈별로지래, 뇌별로지래. 그, 실험 말이야. 자, 드레이 인도산에, 등진디 실험 유무제 차도가. 실험 유무제 텔레야, 년부 땡에디 실험 짓고구야 말이야. 자, 드레이 인도산에, 유를 내봐, 유를 치질로도 내봐 당땡에 대 세야디, 유를 치지 말로 본게 바로 당당하게 실업직이 매서고도 와 실업 유무장 그런 신지 임바텔라 실업직이 매서야 마도 눈별로 매서도 와 어디들이 뒤송이 말이야.
In the next stanza we read.
어디? 야 신내 남자 대회 실업직이 세대야지. 그런 거라도 보 다 매서는 지금 과도해서 여대로서 중구할 때 소화를지 여대로서 중구할 때. 이내 코 다음에 배터나 또 찍도 내야코 유금도 와 유섬 유섬 지 동상 남겼다 보지 유섬 유섬 차르마도 거기 가는데 찍도 내야지 유금도 와 이 가래 먼저 벌었나 가래 램바르스럽나 쌤쓰시비 땡기지 말고 램바래 자 근데 인도 신의 람다 대회 실업지 지금 자주 유금도 배신 송대한테 근데 인도산에 다 실하 니가 놓고 그야래
So we read in stanza 35, in a mere one-pointed concentration, I fail to see the potency to cut the root of cyclic existence. Yet with wisdom, so the first two lines echoes a statement, stanzas, passages from King of Meditation Sutra, Samadhiraja Sutra, where the Buddha explicitly points out that that tranquil abiding, the concentrate, you know, deep concentration attained through tranquil abiding alone is not adequate in eliminating the afflictions. And so yesterday we spoke about different forms of vehicles, and one of the vehicles was referred to as the pristine vehicle of Brahma, which constituted the primarily the practices that are aimed at attaining you know, states of form and formless existence. And the key factor for that is the cultivation of deeper levels of single-pointedness of mind, single-pointedness of mind transcending even the dichotomy of you know, a pain and pleasurable sensations, and attaining a kind of a neutral state of experience. And so even these deep jhanas, levels of meditative absorptions, although they may have the ability to temporarily prevent the gross manifestations of afflictions, however, they do not have the potency to really eliminate the afflictions, because they do not have the power to undermine our grasping at true existence, which is the fundamental ignorance. And therefore, because the only way in which the fundamental ignorance can be eliminated is by deliberately cultivating a wisdom that has the directly opposite perspective of seeing into the no self and seeing into the absence of true existence. And so when we speak of cultivating the wisdom of no self in the Buddhist teachings, there are different levels of subtlety of no self. And corresponding to the different levels of subtlety of no self, there are also different levels of subtlety of ignorance. So the grosser levels of ignorance will give rise to a grosser levels of affliction, such as attachment, aversion, and so on. However, there are subtler levels of ignorance, grasping, subtler levels of grasping, which will then give rise to similarly subtle levels of attachment and aversion, and so on. And therefore, some form of meditation which may lead to the understanding of no self at the gross level will have the capacity to undermine, you know, gross levels of manifestations of ignorance and the attendant afflictions. But, you know, it is only by cultivating the subtle understanding of no self that one will be able to eliminate the subtle ignorance and also the attendant afflictions, the subtle afflictions that arise on the basis of the subtle ignorance, such as subtle levels of attachment, aversion, and so on. So now then the question is asked, if you know, deep levels of meditative concentration cannot eliminate the afflictions, then how can, what is the means by which one eliminates the afflictions? And here, in the same sutra, the King of Meditation Sutra, the Buddha says that at the point when the practitioner cultivates the wisdom of discriminative awareness, penetrating into the subtle nature of reality, and it gains insight into no self of person and phenomena, and at that time, the person will be able to then counter the grasping at self-existence, and will then open up the possibility of attaining liberation. And then in the final line of that passage, the Buddha says that this wisdom of no self is the only avenue by which one can lead to liberation, and no other qualities can lead to liberation. And so, as we discussed yesterday, even if we take the great you know, the precious mind of awakening mind, bodhicitta, which is the most precious mental quality. But even then, this bodhicitta, the awakening mind, because it is primarily a form of an aspiration and a yearning, and it doesn't belong to the category of wisdom or a cognitive, you know, more cognitively oriented aspect of the path, wisdom. Therefore, no matter how precious awakening mind is, awakening mind in itself, by itself, doesn't have the capacity to directly challenge grasping at self-existence. It is only the wisdom of no self that will have the potency and the power to undermine no self, because it is only the wisdom of no self that directly opposes the perspective of ignorance grasping at no self. That's why in the King of Meditation Sutra, Buddha makes the point that no other qualities of mind can lead to liberation. Wisdom into no self, wisdom of no self is the only door to the attainment of liberation. So, and then in the next two lines we read, yet with wisdom devoid of the path of tranquil abiding, no matter how much one may probe, the afflictions will not be overcome. Now here Tsongkhapa is making the point that wisdom alone is again not adequate. For example, in our case, some of us, as a result of our deep reflection and study and intellectual understanding, we may occasionally have glimpses of insight into no self. For example, we may have glimpses of experience of total absence, like a kind of a space-like emptiness. But these remain very fleeting. They just come and then they just tend to kind of dissolve. And therefore, since they don't last long enough, our understanding of emptiness or no self will not have the power to actually, challenge and undermine no self. And in order to do that, we need the quality of a single-pointedness that will enable us to retain that kind of, a space-like emptiness for a prolonged period of time with a focused mind. And in order to do that, you need the faculty of single-pointedness. Therefore, it is only through a combination of wisdom and tranquil abiding, single-pointedness of mind, one will be able to overcome the afflictions.
Tade, yinlu puta chebe, shirabde, yomishine dala gyanene, tade umerikbe, chönyengi, tansi mikde tamche, jikjebe, sushi chebe, yangbe, shirabji, dinyutabwa, lojwe, gyabranze, nanjongeja, tandu, kejang. Tade, samde, ngati logmada samchansu.
So then we read the next two stanzas, which is a sort of a summary conclusion of the earlier observation on the need for a combined application of wisdom and single-pointedness of calm abiding. So Tsongkhapa writes that, so with wisdom decisively penetrating the true mode of being, the learned ones saddle it astride the horse of unwavering calm abiding, and with the sharp weapon of reasoning of the middle way, free of extremes, they dismantle all locus of objectification of the mind grasping at extremes. With such expansive wisdom that probes with precision, the learned ones enhance the wisdom realizing suchness. I, a yogi, have practiced in this manner. You who aspire for liberation too should do likewise. And at this point, I would like to read a short poem on the view of emptiness by Kung Tang. And I believe you have an insertion in the program booklet. This is a beautiful short text found in the miscellaneous writings of Kung Tang Rinpoche, Kung Tang Tenpe Delme, and I used to read it actually quite often, and I personally found it very helpful, and I thought that perhaps giving instruction on this to others may also be of benefit, and since the transmission for the explanatory commentary does not exist, however, the reading transmission of this exists, so I received the reading transmissions from one of the senior former abbots of Drepung Monastery, Tenpa Tenzin La.
Um, 차례입니다고. 저거 있나? 딱 관리자 저거. 딱 간다 타락이 믿다고. 나가는 신기 아니 이제 동네지 동네다. 지금 저 동네로 써봐다. 나가는 신기 아니 동담이 있어야 돼. 동담이 락봐. 너 디지디 로진지바 장야리야. 디지디는 고그레스 봐. 안도 고블루두기 디 신이 되배나라. 당에 치도 중무지디 근데 저아래 미다과도 두메와다 디에디 림베 곰네 디디니 데리스 민지리스 민름리스 잘람 디 담에도 보시도 공급하리스 근데 저아래 저런데 디르 숨겨아래 똥 담에 떡을 림바망 다디 근데 레슬람나 나 겐슈 메바 루브르키 겐투메 치워 통신도 랑 치념 로야 미제나 람사면 떡과 갈아지 땡치글러 런다 레제야 기도든 저렇게 내면서 시신도 시험봐 아세요라 롬민주 내면 라와까 당가람서 랑상으로 찾아 땡기도 와 공천도 쌤쌤 런규베 최 따위 깨라 메림신 야름만세 당부 권한에 최 천부 번진 동의인 다음에 다음에 차라 먹고 여기서 되게 꽤 중소한 다음에 락바락베 고아디디 차가 좀 멋지구나 다음에 참은데 아니 괄사를 둬야기에 내가 요한다. 근데 이 인도산에 로 림지다 시에나 야구레스. 나한테는 난 인부들다. 라르타자 랑랑 나완들 톰 말에 땜바 소시하기 르주에베 강장 공번디 콜 생기 구글 땜도 동 민우물 따자 랑랑 르몬어 땜동 터두기 삼딜에 타신 서버시 콩 담은 남자 공대 치 다 송대야 돼. 자, 다 각자 된주 왕실 민왕 승에 우물은 집에 나올래, 우물에 나올래, 각자 담바 아니 가서 우리 그게 주사합니다. 왕실 민왕 승에 송기하래, 송기하래. 자, 다 가다 가는 돌이야. 지금 숙소로 쏘고 지금 그게 나윤도 자네 천진군이 여보시 넘기도가. 대삼시 열의 여세래요. 대삼시 그걸 판여도 두배 두세. 열을 안 해요. 송체. 나한테 내 인도산에 각자들이 론내면을 나 론내면을 파르문에 수 저기 가서 우리다 여대버지 로를 난대버지 판여도 여배 태어나서 하네. 디파 샤체. 대래 로소 아니 롤러면은 나한 거 샤고 모임비 유런 거 투부 모임비 둘루진 거는 두버들 가서 샤이 되잖아. 다시 담을 올리야. 우리 원실 자는 거면 봐. 뒤 인스리. 자, 근데 인도산에 단들 랍 다자 랑랑 나완들. 다 타녀도야 랑제 미시베 우메다 타투버들 샤이 되잖아. 강자슬럽니. 아들 뒤 장자름 책이. 알사. 다다 랑레 소소사잖아. 나와 링링들 랑소샤는 고주 라젠시 소가 낭대에서 송대하디. 나와 링링, 가르, 그와 때비네. 그 텐경은의 여배지, 낭의 구도가. 와다 니 각자래, 에스라. 다 니 낭수 니 각자사대요, 아리스. 그대 이봐, 인제, 라르 따자, 랑랑 나완들, 델라 토도 말해고 제제. 델레 샌도 각자직 때려, 이나? 아니, 니, 레셰가, 니 각자 깍배 따와 삼담바 이나? 레셰가 따와 자루요, 아리스. 르 쥐베 각자 고건 디 콜 해지 구글 땡두동 장경은의 여보 능비여 나오는 시 뜨다 여리 슬자네 해지 땡진 디 땡두두두 콜 해지 구글 땡두동 근데 인도자네 말하면서 칸에 따오 공구 랑심 매발에 모니지 모두 버리시는 것도 따오 쉐 되게 여리디 니네 롤리야 땡동근 남바 차단디 탄에게 그게 아주 다녀서 올랐다. 아, 다녀서 지금 둘 때부터 랑소 샤니. 대래 로소, 이니 다 매봐. 똥바 랑시, 똥바 세야지. 칸에 샤윤지. 지금 샤나? 아, 다, 딘드드드 담이 샤지 미싱, 최기 담이 샤지 미싱에게. 대마 딘이 쥐에, 강사 랑도, 랑자 쥐에 자유주 똥에 담이, 내 윤두 산에, 똥배 가서 우리 그게 쑥으로, 안주한테 샤야, 딜레 쑥 샤지. 여신도 가버렸어. 룡원은 땡동 터두게 삼딜에 타셔 써버시 콩 텀만 남겨 공대치 직 두절라서 된지기 최대매 카이 좀나야 생 떼서 떡시 랑 다 초성 캐자 차도 체 땜바레샤 카네다 다 러시지 모르고 쓰기 어르디 와도 롤로 차다디 다 강사가 때문에 제일이잖아 강사랑 이제 되게 자유기 동안에 롤로 샤야 사실 그 여사들 자들이 이제 루루기 시시 풍부한 진유 봐 디지털한 건진 유스네 어디 책 들어 삼 담배이나 아니 지금 신에 나이 때도 삼단이 되잖아 나 민두 삼배 로지 철게 연하야 디 나 미루디 랑자 투베 자유도 투바 매베 미루 차를 마다 런신기 동안에 패지 철게여서 말해 디 철게 매베 철게 디다 가도 나이 때도 동상을 로차 돼야 돼 런신기 다 가서 가서 런신기 투베 동안에 철게 여다 매디 풍소 때도 나이 때도 런신 매버 주야기 좀젠디 좀젠 다가라 풍소 때도 파 꺼버이나 풍소 때도 더둥 그게 지금 락벌 주여봐 지금 그게 청주에 대해 지금 롤러 셔그도나 저기 나 강사 그때도 쟤네 동상 차대야 돼 런저 두배 자유 주도는 동상 차로 마도 런신지 두배 동에 동상도 차와 멤버래 그래서 해버리자 땅 갈래 갈래야 나 풍속에 풍불로 떼네 나 잠시 롤러 샤대야 땅유 누도 어머스 땅 나서 땅유 시기야 그래 그래서 갔다 된대대로 나대 풍불로 떼네 땅 잠시 마도 매대버지 누구도서 매대버지 롤러 거로 차례이나 뒤 빼를 거야 아니 풍속에 쉬어되게 돼야 쟤는 숙소로 쏘고 대대대 저도 해야 매대네. 니규 매대봐. 어다 대 랑이 있네. 가서 우리 그게 덕실을 떼네. 딱 삼십 배지. 파갈래 갈래 고하시면 되나? 애니 패질 땀에 차면 고하러 슉슉슉슉 누구 여사래. 자 대대인도 최 때문에 카이 두나야. 쌤 떼서 덕실 나와야 다 초성 캐장 차도 채. 콩 터면 어디 당연히 들 들어가.
So we will read from the text. Stanza 1 begins with the salutation, the glorious embodiment of great bliss and compassion, which through immersing in the expanse free of elaborations, you bring relief to desperate mother sentient beings, most venerable teacher, I honor the dust under your feet. And then he writes, whatever sufferings there are in the cycle of existence are produced by the self-grasping enemy. Hence, all children who desire liberation should strive in the ways that help eliminate this from its root. Though this is so, before understanding this truth, suchness that is most profound, there are numerous stages such as coarse impermanence, suffering, emptiness, and no self. So here, Kung Tang is pointing out that before we actually arrive at the profound truth of no self, there are preliminary stages of mental development one needs to go through, such as the cultivation of insight into impermanence, which is correspondingly a coarser level of reality compared to no self, and then the nature of suffering in the terms of the three levels of suffering, and also emptiness here refers to a grosser level of emptiness, particularly in terms of impurity, and no self, again this is a grosser level of no self. And then he goes on to say that, and here actually this echoes to some extent a statement made in Nagarjuna's Hymn to the Ultimate Expanse, where he, Nagarjuna states that the actual path is the cultivation of wisdom of no self, and all other practices such as insight into impermanence, grosser levels of no self, understanding the deeper nature of suffering, these are all preparatory practices that help ripen and make the practitioner receptive to the wisdom of no self. So Nagarjuna makes that distinction in his hymns to the ultimate expanse. So then Kung Tang writes, while seeing that with no distinction, then from point stanza 4 onwards, Kung Tang is explaining how does one cultivate these preliminary stages of understanding of impermanence and so on. He says that while seeing that with no distinction of age, suddenly one dies due to so many conditions, if the thought that I will die does not arise, how can realizations of profound path grow? even within a year, a month, or a day of a single life, happiness and suffering, prosperity and misfortune remain uncertain. Knowing this, he who still clings firm, for him the hope of a genuine renunciation is difficult. And then he goes on to explain how understanding of subtle level of no-self requires a progressive development of the deepening of the understanding of no-self. And then he explains that not climbing at first from the lower steps of the staircase, that of Vaibhashika, of Sautrantika, of mind-only and Svatrantika, Madhyamaka, he who grabs at the highest, this is an empty bravado. So Kongtang is pointing out that unless one goes through a progressive understanding of the, you know, progressively more subtle levels of no-self, meaning of no-self, there is a danger of falling into an extreme, particularly of nihilism. Therefore, one needs to cultivate first the coarser levels of understanding, meaning of no-self, and then progressively move on to ever more subtler levels of understanding. And then in the stanza 7, for example, he gives an example. Particularly here, he's thinking of Svatrantika Madhyamaka in his mind. And he says that this negating of mentally contrived object of negation, while leaving intact the true existence with this everyday perception of ours untouched, this strengthens further the fortress of innate grasping. So what Kongtang is saying here is that, for example, Svatrantika Madhyamaka, Madhyamikas, middle way followers, they, for them, inherent exist. There is some kind of objective reality. Therefore, the object of negation they identify is in a sense, mentally contrived. And therefore, for example, they say that things and events do possess some form of objectivity, and because of this objectivity, they have the criteria, they fulfill the criteria of existence. And what is being negated in the course of no-self is something that is mentally contrived. And then Kongtang critiques this by writing that though labeling it as the middle way, the measure of this final emptiness of true existence, compared to this, more subtle and profound than this measure seems to be found by those who propound objective reality. So in other words, Kongtang is saying is that compared to these so-called middle way philosophers, if you examine carefully the other Buddhist schools, those who propound the notion of objective reality, because of their commitment to the teaching of no-self, sometimes one could argue that their level of understanding of no-self is even more profound. So then we read from stanza 9, through reasoning such as absence of identity and difference, though one may prove by mouth absence of true existence of things, amazing indeed is to be able to negate in mind even partially the self that is permanent, unitary and autonomous. So what Kongtang is pointing out here is that even though from our mouth, we may say things and events do not possess true existence, but unless that understanding is really affected at the level of our understanding, level of our thoughts and mind, this verbal usage of verbal statements like no inherent existence or no true existence is not going to have any impact. And sometimes, one may say that things and events do not possess true existence, but one's actual understanding of no self may still remain at the grosser levels of understanding of no self. And how do we test this? Is to examine our own understanding of no self on the basis of meditation. And once we have some sense of there being no independent self, that is, independent of our physical and mental, psychological and mental aggregates, physical and mental aggregates, the skandhas. And then what we need to do then is to use the same process of reasoning and extend that insight to the very basis of the notion of self. our physical and mental elements, mental constituents that make up our existence. And if, just as in the case of the notion of self, you know, when you're subjected to critical analysis, the notion of self seems to dissolve. In the same way, when you extend that analysis onto the very basis of this notion of self, our physical and mental aggregates, if a similar sense of absence arises, then this is an indication that your understanding of no self is profound. Whereas if, although with respect to the notion of person and self, you know, this sense of absence arises, but when you extend that analysis onto the basis, such as the physical and mental elements, if no such sense of absence arises, then this indicates that there is still a form of clinging onto the basis of the notion of self. And therefore, it is very true what Nagarjuna says in his precious garland, Ratnavali, where he says that so long as there is a clinging to the aggregates, the physical and mental aggregates, then there is always a clinging to a notion of self, some notion of selfhood. And so this is very true. So it's by extending the analysis onto the very basis of our notion of self, and then by gradually cultivating that familiarity and internalizing that understanding, and through a long process of habituation and cultivation of familiarity with that insight, and gradually our understanding of emptiness will become ever more subtle and arrive at its final understanding of no self.
Yeah, that's the name. Tami Taradi, the Kadish Sungor Slavina, Kong Tama Tengi, Kong Tama Tengigis, Alada, Tengi Salitam, that got a tendine, you have a shishache, that's Hamjalo, right? The name is Anne, Da Rapa, Da Tuljan, Kasur Pugay. 다디데 둠데 군다고라 차샤 다이네 풍불로 왕줄게 에네 조더브 다랑자와지 덴데지게 다 다랑자와지 직베파 까네 풍부도 직 직도 좀 강으로 좀으로 내려서 하나 봐 제네 강사 랑제트베 자유기 똥지 네 와 다락 다락베 야다 대신은 等顶住我们让当时除了那么多些月度生死等这个的刚才让这特别在于的大主要马来西亚等这个的大客户的大面积些是吧他碰上个村呗在村里一地在村里面的住吧等顶住我们让当时到底他的上面的
其中干呢，宋子女都不到，宋国有人第一，没出现宋朝。顶住我们让当时，除了南北对峙，月度三十。但是宋子米西德布里亚，宋子米西杰啊，跟米金，七六年，他属，这个，团结门的主，顶得起，那等等，稍微吧，大概他等，讲他，西北路出。
人人写不接啊，给，那么带进去，旁边的都得要的，是要的。那，太高的，那么人骂我，那么，那人被北京人点呢，有哪种当着爬上去，从这边写就一万码事。那现在呗，刚上个大米，特别写不第一的，刚了，哎，你出去大米送给要的，出去大米肯定送过来了呢，
读着了说不，人人写不接了，他那不对干净要骂的意思，太高的意思。南京被北京人的呢，有哪种当着爬上去，从东北写就要骂死。那人人写不快，写不干了呀？哎你，这个云南那所吃呀，给爬上也不接接。哎你爬上第一晚给，哎你，人人写不打。 地域前的、人域前的、地域部的，能写吧？准备点个爬山赛道，就那个嘛的，去能写吧？准备的 대타대베 치료전으로 요 말이. 드르르베다 치료전으로 까네. 그다 치료전기 동베 담에 시아바리. 너나 소어든 저 대타대 마인바 대타대 니기 동베 에네 소지 니동 그 대코나니 쓰는 거야 레스. 콩정규반은 댐뱅의 유유전 강한 미미장 최탐제 댐벌 머드로버리 샘삼바데 섭두치니 가서 우리 보기엔 진지로 샹왕대에 댐벌 머드로버리 샹왕군다기 동배 용주대에 아니 댐벌 머드로버리 레스치니 최탐제 댐벌 머드로버 타제 그다 롯놈에는 나온 거 샤고 모임부 유런 거 특우 모임부 둘루중문에 두벼 똥한테 최탐제 그때는 봐 켜봐시니 최탐제 댄동 대신도 공정규반은 だ、手探し、よあれ。てめえな、え、ちょ、かんだかんいね、たにゃんどうせ、てん、ゆにんもね、じゅめえな、え、る、かんそれ。る、ね、べ、たくさんしゃばれ。でじゃな、る、かんそそいな、え、たにゃげべん、え、なむしゃ、じょうしんげまれ、たにゃげなむしゃる、ね、よくどうす。わ。え、かんかるぼる、る、なごりすればいいね、こかもかもてぐるばだ。 근데 다시 한 다 그 다들 Pene, tenju mene, chick, do devotee, lol shake to us. Ready, so drum, dian, color dance. Tay, Indians. That Mingya Tayu thinks, Chaji, ye devotee, Chaji penu, ye devotee, Tay, Indians, sogbe, tinjungi, less one of sogbe, she duty, gain sogbe, kangim, chaja so, goon, gobat, ruler, young to miss. Other day, Tanya do, Caso repeat, yevati, any nyome, nyemito. 예트야지래 태삼식 샤야마도 낭선 대임마침벌 유루컨데시도 태삼니네 대담주실로 소리 대담주실로 침배인데 대대식이 재배고나 니야 떼내매바래 어디래 이마인두산에 민점 따삼 뻑배 따삼 수순대다 띠임바래 너나노 수순대야
So we read from stanza 10 where Kuntang writes that objective realists He is referring to the Buddhist schools, Vaibhashika and Sutrantika in particular. Objective realists say that in the wake of removing the impurity of coarse self-existence from the goal that is the external reality, so this coarse self-existence refers to absence of selfhood in terms of a unitary, permanent, unchanging entity, and also absence of selfhood in terms of a self-sufficient a reality. And then Kuntang writes that there exists a self-resonance of a truly existing entity, something that projects its aspect to the mind. So this is a reference to the Buddhist objective realists who argue that although independent self does not exist, but things and events do possess some form of objective reality, and particularly the external reality has the capacity to project its image to our perceiving subjects, and therefore the external reality of matter does exist. And then in the next stanza, Kuntang presents the perspective of mind-only school, which rejects this external reality of matter. And he writes that rejecting this, the perception-only proponents say, in the paintbrush of inner subjective world, there exists a part that is truly existing paint, which is the seed for colorful diverse objects. So the point being made here is that the mind-only school rejects the notion of an external reality constituted by objective, independent, real things, composed of matter. And mind-only's standpoint is that what we perceive to be external are in fact perceptions, our own mind projected externally. And this kind of perception arises from a seed collections of seeds that are imprinted in our own mind, and which then, comes to fruition and takes the form of a perception of externality. And then the Madhyamaka Svatrantikas reject this and say that the Svatrantikas say that though truly existing entities are not perceived either in the object of the or in the subject. From dependent origination of the meeting of metal and stone, there emerges fire. They call intrinsically characterized fire. So what the Svatrantika Madhyamakas are doing is to reject this kind of, a distinction drawn between external objects and the internal subjects in terms of their reality and negate the notion of true existence across both the world of subject and object, and yet the Svatrantika Madhyamakas do retain a notion of objectivity, because they say that when you see things and events coming into contact, there emerges certain properties, such as when you strike a stone and a metal, you get a spark, and which then again create a fire, and therefore. This fire is a real fire and has objective reality. And if you reject this undeniable, you know, this reality which is undeniable to our senses, if you reject this, then the reality of everything will just become nominal reality. And if the reality of all things is purely at the nominal level, then all our conventions will break down. So this is the Svatrantika's position, that although they negate the true existence across the board, they do retain a degree of objectivity, they do accord a degree of objectivity to things and events, so that, you know, the dependent origination is explained, accounted for on that basis. And then Kungtang writes that the final standpoint of glorious Nagarjuna is this. Just like the appearance of the face's reflection in a mirror, apart from the mere appearance, both without and within, nothing exists by virtue of an essence. So this here Kungtang is pointing out that Svatrantika, in contrast to Svatrantika Madhyamaka's standpoint, the final standpoint of Nagarjuna is that interpreted by, as explained by masters such as Buddhapalita, Chantrakirti and Shantideva, where not only true existence is negated on the ultimate level, but even on the conventional level, true existence is negated, and also any notion of intrinsicness, any notion of inherent existence is negated even on the conventional level. And because if things and events do possess a reality that is objectively grounded, then as you search for their true essence, one should be able to find them. However, if we go beyond the boundary of convention and language, and then, you know, beyond the boundary of everyday transaction, and search for some kind of objective intrinsic reality, then nothing can be found. So therefore, these masters argue that the intrinsicness or this objective reality must be negated even on the conventional level. Therefore, they argue however, even these masters do not deny the reality of things. For example, when we use terms, there are terms and there are reference to these terms. And the terms, the reference to these terms are not the same as the terms themselves. Such distinctions are maintained. However, when it comes to the understanding of the actual reality of these things that the terms are referring to, masters such as Chantakirti and so on, they argue that this reality has to be understood only on the basis of mutuality of relationships and conceptual designation, and has to be confined within the domain of our perceptions and experience and appearance alone. Whereas if we are unsatisfied by the level of appearance and go beyond the boundary of that and seek for some kind of objective intrinsic reality, then nothing becomes tenable. And so therefore they use expressions such as mere name, mere label, mere designations and so on, which is to really emphasize the point that the quest for objective reality is untenable. So the reality of things and events can only be accounted within the framework of a nominal, within the nominal framework of conventions, conceptual designations, and so on. And this does raise a difficult challenge, because what is being asked for is not to subscribe to any notion of objective reality, but at the same time maintain an understanding of the world within which cause and effect operate, within which everyday functions are still tenable. And this is the challenge, that is the difficult. And therefore, it is very true when Tsongkhapa says in his great treatise, extensive treatise on the stages of the path to enlightenment, Lamrim Chemo, when Tsongkhapa in a verse says that, my colleagues who are learned in the middle way treatises, although difficult though it is to posit cause and effect in a world that is devoid of inherent intrinsic existence, but be continue to uphold this standpoint and hail that this is the true middle way. So even Tsongkhapa acknowledges the conceptual difficulty of maintaining these two perspectives of rejecting any notion of inherent existence, intrinsicness on the one side, yet at the same time upholding the validity of cause and effect and all the everyday functions. And this truly is the challenge. And therefore, the most helpful way of approaching emptiness in this, according to this understanding, is not so much to say that things and events do not exist because you do not find them when you search for their essence. This is not the best, most helpful way to approach the understanding of emptiness. The most effective and most helpful way and to approach this is via the teaching of dependent origination. And so things and events do not possess inherent existence or intrinsic existence because they are dependently originated. And we had this discussion in San Francisco where I pointed out, you know, if you unpack the notion of dependent origination, teaching of dependent origination, you know, there is a progressively more subtle levels of understanding. For example, the first level of understanding of dependent origination is the dependent origination as an observable fact of cause and effect relations, dependence in terms of cause and effect relations, which is a level of dependent origination that can be observed by us. Then using that as the basis and then ask the question, why are things and events dependently originated in terms of their causes and effects relations? This is because things and events possess a fundamentally dependent nature because they are mutually related to each other and they can be only mutually defined and related. So it is this mutuality of a dependent relation that is what allows for things and events to have this causal nature. And why does things and events have this fundamentally dependent nature is because they are, you know, devoid of any objective inherent intrinsic reality of their own. They do not possess existence in and of themselves and in their own right. So you can see, so this is the final subtle level of dependent origination understanding, where dependent origination is understood in terms of dependence upon conceptual designation and a kind of a transactional framework. So here you can see progressively through deepening one's understanding of dependent origination, one can arrive at the understanding of emptiness in the subtle sense. And this is in fact the most helpful way of approaching emptiness. And therefore, dependent origination is recognized as the highest proof of emptiness of inherent existence.
Oh yeah, that is.
Oh, sorry. Oh. Then in the stanza 14, and then Kungdang gives the examples of how this insight can be applied, and he takes the example of a sculpting of a clay statue of a Buddha, and he says that. In stanza 14, a lump of earth is called head and limb with such terms and through mere aggregation of constructed facts. Yet with no sense of being designated from outside, they seem as if existing from their own side. How can this be true? So he is pointing out that when a sculptor creates an image of the Buddha, then when we later relate to this image, then we feel as if the image is existing in its own right, with no sense of the actual label being given from a subjective perspective. And then yet, he explains, though this is so, through dependent origination of collections, the gathering of merits acting as the basis, and through coming together of conditions, there is no denying that all such needs as houses, families, and so on are procured. So even though this is the case, but on the basis of, you know, paying homage to that image, one can create merit, so it serves the function. And similarly, through the coming together of many conditions, you know, all such needs as houses, families, and so on are realized. Then
we read from stanza 16 onwards, from our Savior Buddha up to ourselves, though our words stating no true existence are the same, our mode of perceptions are like that of East and West. So the path is declared to be a sphere of individual awareness. That which arose from conditions is unborn. It has no arising by virtue of inherent existence. Since it depends on other conditions, it is empty. No greater way of teaching exists than this statement. Essential it is to ripen the cause, gathering merits and cleansing of obscurations. This alone can help realize the view of emptiness. Most people hear the literal meaning of the statement, because it arose, it is unborn, as being self-contradictory. By reflecting on the empty aspect, though it may be easier for the way of emptiness to dawn, it has dangers and pitfalls. Even all the lower systems of thought claim in unison that the extreme of eternalism is dispelled by emptiness. By reflecting on this dependent origination of mere appearance, if objects appear as empty, this is most wondrous. Fortunate indeed it is to destroy grasping at true existence through the very fact grasped at as true existence by all. The dependent origination of effects being dependent upon causes, though this is accepted by all Buddhist essentialists, that cause depends upon effect as well as enemy, friends, and so on, this nominal existence whereby everything is interdependent, by extending this truth in all possible ways to all objects, the three times, agent, act, and so on, and analyzing in this way, this clinging of ours to true existence of everything that is perceived is reversed, so whatever is perceived dawns as empty. At this point, the analysis into the view is complete. The intention of glorious Nagarjuna is found. One has then entered the path that pleases Savior conquerors, a path free of the abyss of eternalism and nihilism. The principal causes of accomplishing such an aim, this is the planting of seed, probing the definitive meaning on the ground of faith and the soil of ethical discipline, where the warm blessings of deities and teachers fall. If water and fertilizer of gathering the collections are poured, and the weeds and stumps of erroneous paths are removed, the harvest of the final view of emptiness shall come to grow. Through a song of words devoid of experience, though it is hard to inspire others to Dharma, but by repeating after my teacher's sacred words, through this virtue may all beings be victorious. This was written by the monk Kuncho Tenpe Dreme as requested for by Gyalkenpo Trakpa Gyaltsen, the illuminator of the Buddha's doctrine. So we finish this poem, and it is a wonderful poem.
Mm. 다들 네. 되다. 지지권배 Rangi yellow composition, Kasasana, Tabasari, Jawaji, Kolanga, Shemiko, Drogunja, Namdan, Nasan, Jemmy, Tujin, Melam Dip, Nanjang, Melam Sadado, Tanju Chija, Tishin, Deptalo, Shishin, Lamjin, Benjamin, and Dorji, Shishan to Seven, the Mondo to make a Pomba, was under the Vibin Dorji, and the number gave it into Shawa. Oh, status.
So we read the remaining part of the Tsongkhapa's text, stanza 38. We read, let alone that through one-pointed cultivation, absorption is realized. Even the discriminative awareness examining with precision can generate the absorption on the true mode of being, abiding utterly stable and unwaveringly. Wondrous are those who see this and strive for the union of abiding and insight. I, a yogi, have practiced in this manner. You who aspire for liberation too should do likewise. The space-like emptiness of meditative equipoise and the illusion-like emptiness of the subsequent realizations. Praised are those who cultivate them and bind together the method and wisdom and travel beyond the bodhisattva's deeds. It is the way of the fortunate ones to realize this and not to be content with partial paths. I, a yogi, have practiced in this manner. You who aspire for liberation too should do likewise. Thus, having cultivated as they are the common parts, essential for the two supreme parts of causal and resultant great vehicles, I have entered the great ocean of tantras by relying upon the leadership of the learned navigators. And through application of the quintessential instructions, I have made meaningful human existence that I have obtained. I, a yogi, have practiced in this manner. You who aspire for liberation too should do likewise. In order to make familiar to my own mind and to help benefit fortune others as well, I have explained here in words easy to understand in its entirety the path that pleases the conquerors. Through this virtue may all beings never be divorced from the perfectly pure excellent path. Thus I pray. I, a yogi, have made aspirations in this manner. You who aspire for liberation too should pray likewise.
Yeah, that's enough. 아, 이제 다 잘 사고 싶지 마. 다 가도 그래. 다 동민 잠시 다 도스래.
So this is a very brief and also a rather fast explanation on this text of Tsongkhapa.
야. 다 되네. 된다. 되면 되나. 자, 다 되나 넘겨 안다. 야, 되디 라면 도시샤니 년구여 되나. 하더니 이르자네. 제 덤지 잡아서 고기 아래 넘겨한다 자갈래 얘네래다 가다 넘지 셔야 되겠다 서로 저 체크 소리야 이거 가서 그래 덤지 잡아서 고기 옆에 있는 자네 장소 그지 되나 알아리야 저 도시 중대 대제 한 땡겜도 옆에 있나 아니야 가서 그래 전화 쉬어라 맞대로 쉬어 쉬어
So the next is the blessing empowerment of Green Tara. And so this is a different kind of teaching, and up until now was a lecture, and from the next session point onwards, it is a form of teaching where there needs to be, on your part, at as students, recognition of me as a teacher in the Dharma sense. So there has to be an establishment of a guru-disciple relationship, and a part of that relationship is an important to observe some form of bond between the Lama and the teacher, and it's important to have a purity in that relationship between the teacher and the disciple. And because of this, when I give empowerments and also give vows, which belongs to the same category of teachings, which requires an establishment of a teacher-disciple relationship, in India and many other places, I request on the part of the members of the audience that it is given this importance of the purity of a bond between teacher and relation. Therefore, among the members of the audience, if there are some who continue to propitiate the Doje Shukden Togyal, then I would request you not to then attend the remaining part of the teachings, which require an establishment of a teacher-disciple bond and relation.
Those, of course, the people who they follow different tradition, different faith, and also those people who have no sort of religious sort of belief or faith, then simply you sit here as a witness about my performance. So no problem. The worshipper of this particular spirit, actually, you see, myself, you see, they worship or offer, you see, that to that, you see, spirit. But then around 74, 75, then I noticed, you see, this is not very healthy. Then eventually, of course, the further investigation go through past history, mainly fifth Dalai Lama. So then I found the one sort of short prayer in order to destroy, you see, this spirit. Here, I think main thing is now his sort of this sort of the short prayer to destruction, for destruction of this, you see, spirit. That in the Tami Tamzu Tapa Jansen She. Paji did Tamzi Gize Paji Melody, so deem Mendo sometimes. Tamba Mendo, Tamba Tua. The God a Yishun and any, Kasa La.
That this should be done down raw gula, such an answer. Jumze dinde into sane, dindegi, any jumbu tella, gunjo pungi manze tower loss, and tinge to someone. What is it, Makuru Shoroka Kashejari? So dinde into that sick day? That's awesome sick day. So this, you see, the form of prayer for destruction of that spirit. This is quite serious. So, unless someone similar, similar sort of spiritual experience, as well as I think authority, like fifth Dalai Lama, and made correction. Otherwise, you see, this is his sort of the verse or his statement. I think this is still remain
relevant. The citation that His Holiness was referring to that comes from the fifth Dalai Lama that he later discovered was very explicit in fifth Dalai Lama's stand on this question of the propitiation of this particular spirit. And in this prayer, there's a small annotation where he explains how this particular spirit came into being you know, originally as a reincarnation, a kind of a false reincarnation of a Gelug Lama called Sonam Gelepelsang, who was in turn the reincarnation of a well-known master, Penchen Sonam Thakpa. So the fifth Dalai Lama recognizes that this particular Thakpa Gyaltsen was in fact a falsely recognized as the reincarnation of Tugu Sonam Gelepelsang, and then following his death emerged as this a violent spirit. And generally, you know, a spirit world, if there are beings existing in the spirit form, then if they do not pose any harm or threat to other sentient beings, then it is fine. But Fifth Dalai Lama clearly recognizes this particular spirit to be malevolent and also harmful, both to the survival of the Buddha Dharma and also to other sentient beings. And therefore, he composed this prayer urging all other protectors not to provide any shelter or protection to this particular spirit. So this prayer was written as a way of rectifying the harms and the threat posed by this particular spirit. So it seems to be taken very seriously by the fifth Dalai Lama. And this particular prayer later became the basis upon which my own views and standpoint on this particular question of the propitiation of Shukden spirit really evolved. So, of course, you know, in the past, at one point, I myself was also a propitiator of this particular spirit. Then later, on the basis of this understanding, of course, I had repented and also purified what I've done before.
So out of ignorance, right? So my friend, you see here, against the law, right from the beginning, you see, no connection. Tudola, like me. See, because one time, you see, involve worship, you see, that spirit. Now later, because you see these things, now he learned, so he completely used to stop. So like him, you see, many senior lamas or geshis or practitioners, you see, after learning, you see, this true picture of that, so they all voluntarily stopped. So that's the so the 13th Dalai Lama also, you see, put a lot of restrictions about that. But meantime, you see, some individuals now deliberately, you see, they carry some activities, including murders, beatings, like that. So now, since some time back, they also developed very close link with Chinese government, with Chinese intelligence department. So in India, according Indian government, certain Indian government or department, the source of threat to my life is that organization. So that's the reality. So person is who consider Buddhist. Meantime, you see, they worship, you see, this spirit is really contradictory. Because, firstly, Tibetan Buddhism, as you know, the pure Nalanda tradition, such a rich tradition. Now, due to some Tibetan sort of the behavior, or some Tibetan, I think, the habit, you see, this rich tradition eventually become a, there is a danger of to become something like spirit worshipper. It's a pity. Not only just like Shungden, but also the other, you see, many sort of
protectors.
Mundane deities. I think too much emphasis. It's really, I think, wrong. I always was mentioning, you see, to public, to Tibetan as well as many others, the Buddha Shakyamuni and those masters, these are the source of real inspiration come, right? Not these small sort of deities. But sometimes the Tibetan fond, you see, these small deities, particularly deity for wealth, the people, you see, very much fond. So sometimes I jokingly is telling, maybe these, the deity of wealth, they themselves may be millionaire, but among Tibetan who's devoted to these deities seems no millionaire. So that's, I think, really degenerating genuine Tibetan Buddhist tradition, number one. Second, as you know, in the past, among Tibetan masters, there was a tradition of non-sectarian, receiving teaching from Nyingma, Gyu, Sajja, Gelu, everywhere. I feel that tradition is very rich. I think very good. And these days, I think that tradition is very relevant. And a good example, while we are respecting non-Buddhist also. So within Tibetan Buddhism, I think there's no reason to be sectarian. But no, the follower of this, or the worshipper of this spirit, they consider only, I think, very much sectarian. So the reason, you see, those Gelu lamas or scholars who receive teaching from Nyingma tradition, then this spirit killed or destroyed. So there are some stories. Actually, you see, his teacher wrote, you see, composed such sort of stories like that. So therefore, even my own case, in early period, I really keen, you see, to receive some sort of teaching from other tradition. But then my teacher gave me some warning because of this spirit. So at that time, you see, in a way, I have no religious freedom because of this spirit. Now, after I sort of stop spirit, kind of worship this spirit, then I got real freedom. Then I received teaching from Sajja tradition, from Nyingma tradition, from Gyu tradition, like that. So because of my, I think, sincere, genuine, non-sectarian sort of
approach.
Persuasion, right?
Approach.
Approach. Now, you see, quite a number of, lamas or Khenpos or different sort of, scholars from various tradition. Now, really, the spirit of non-sectarian is growing. Inside Tibet also. In previously, you see, two monasteries, one this side, one other side, is not talking because of different sect. Now that gone. Maybe some area, like Chamdo area or Toyab area, still, you see, some problems. Otherwise, I think many area, now really non-sectarian spirit is now growing. I really feel this is small contribution of my kasuda.
My work.
So the worship of this spirit is one of the obstacles for promotion of non-sectarian practice or tradition. Then third, like you said, the Tibetan government headed by Dalai Lama, whether reactionary or not, in any case, last more than 300 years, you see, this government, Tibetan government, is led by Dalai Lama. So this government started from 5th Dalai Lama. So 5th Dalai Lama and this person's relation eventually become very negative. So finally, that person, you see, seems to see due to karmic causes and deliberately become a deity, a wrathful deity, which is humming for Future Dalai Lama, his government, right? So like that. So it is very complicated. So if someone have not much interest, then just close your ear. If some interest, then further investigation. There are more materials. Oh. Because, you see, those people, those individuals who deliberately following, in spite of knowing these things, then complete freedom. No one can stop that. But those people who, out of ignorance, like me, then I think it is important to make clear whether you practice, or whether you implement or not, it's entirely up to you. That's all. Thank you.
Your Holiness, we at Deer Park are extremely grateful for you accepting Geshe La's request and giving us these precious teachings. We are extremely indebted to you for showering us with your loving kindness and compassion. We would like to thank all of the people here for coming, the Coliseum staff, the friends of Deer Park near and far who have so joyfully worked on this visit. We would also like to thank the Wisconsin Tibetan Association for so harmoniously working with us at so many levels. Due to the kindness of our volunteers, our local community participants and sponsors, our receipts for this visit at the present time are $781,200. Our expenses thus far before future bills come in are $274,630. The surplus at this point equals $507. Deer Park wishes to donate the surplus. Your Holiness, you have so many projects that you support. We would like to offer you this surplus so that you may, in your wisdom, donate and place it where you see fit. We look forward to July of 2008, when His Holiness will return for the opening ceremony and consecration of Deer Park's new temple, 5 days of teachings, and a long life ceremony. Your Holiness, we all pray from the depths of our heart that we will never be separated from you for an infinite period of time.
Then I think, how many? Exactly.
$506,000.
Oh. Then I think out of 500,000, I think 300,000, I think a donation for your monastery construction not yet finished. And also I heard, is there some pulling?
I also heard that because of this construction of new temple, you have debts.
So therefore, I think 300,000 donation. And the preparation for next visit, isn't it? Then 200,000, I think that we have, I think some importance of project like construction of college in South India, in Bangalore. We are hoping eventually 3,000 students. So that another sort of, I think, the advantages in Karnataka state, the same state, there are bigger monastic institutions also that area. So that college eventually a place where more serious discussions about modern science and the Buddhist kata.
Classical Tibetan Buddhist knowledge.
Oh. So that institution, hopefully, some important role in many in academic field. So therefore, I utilize that as $200,000 for that construction. Thank you.